Hey everyone, welcome to Past Lives and the Divine. I am your host, Gina, and this is where we talk about past lives and our connection to the divine out there, and the divine inside each and every one of us. If you have been missing past life regression sessions, I have a recording for you, and I'm super excited. This client has had two sessions with me, and you are going to hear two session recordings. So her first session was in September of 2021. That is the recording you're going to listen to today. And then in 1 week, you're going to listen to her second past life regression, which just happened a couple months ago. So I'm excited for you to listen to this and just to kind of see how it builds. And my hope is to have this client come and chat with us someday, just integrating this experience and how her life has changed. So more to come on that as I share more client sessions. Of course, all of these sessions, all of these clients have given me permission to use their sessions, so we're all good there. So it's not like an automatic, if you have a session with me, you have to share your past life regression. That is not it at all. But if you have had a past life regression with me and you wouldn't mind sharing your recording, let me know. I've got kind of a lineup that I'm waiting to produce, but I would love to add your session to that. So just know that that's always an option, but it's just that, an option. So this client came to the session in September of 2021, and her intention was simply to experience a past life that will help her feel better, more balanced, more powerful specifically. So oftentimes when a client comes in and they're like, I don't know, I don't really have a specific thing that I want to look into, or sometimes people will be like, I don't know, I have a list of like 10 things, then I always think of, I love to leave it open for the spirit guides, for our higher self to just kind of take us wherever we need to go. That's how it goes anyway. So I just love it when we can all kind of get on that open path. And then I like to bring it and make it a little bit more personalized. So one of the things I'll do if a client is like, well, I just don't want to feel this way, or I just want to feel better, then I will say, like, if you didn't have this fear or this block, or if you didn't have whatever it is that feels like it's in the way, how would you feel? And it's in that that I think illuminates sometimes our path, because we can get so focused on the things that we want to change, the things that we don't want in our life. But to flip that and to be like, okay, if I don't want this, whatever it is, a situation, a feeling, a type of relationship, then instead to, I think there's real value, even if nothing changes in the moment, but to pause and just be like, but if I didn't have that, or if that wasn't a thing, or if I did have that one thing that I wanted, how would that make me feel? And that's where I like to go in. And so when Angie said feeling better would be more balanced, more powerful, then that for me as the facilitator just gives me a little bit more direction in terms of the questions that I ask at the end specifically, and just so I can get a little bit more of a glimpse of what that would mean to the client. One of the things I've talked about before is I always try to identify and resist any assumptions that I make during a past life regression while I'm facilitating it. And to really, my job, I believe, is to remain open with the client's intention in the back of my mind, their questions, things they want to understand and know about themselves. And then I try not to make any assumptions and just guide them to where they need to go. And those are the sessions. That is the way I do a session. And that seems to be the way people get the most that they can out of these sessions. And one more thing before we get started, I've been getting a lot of questions since the podcast is back in everybody's orbit. I am booked through the summer. So if you want a session with me, I do sessions online. So as long as you have the internet, we can do a session together. Head over to pastlivesandthedivine.com, click on schedule a session with me, and put your name on the email list. If you're listening to this in the future, that's how you schedule a session with me. But if I'm booked, like right now I'm booked through the summer, don't want to plan my fall yet. So hop on that email list and I will let you know when the fall schedule opens. And that'll open, I don't know, 2 or 3 months. Thank you so much to this client, Angie, for sharing this session and her second session with us, which we'll hear next week. Let's do it. Gather around the fire for a past life regression. Are you aware of whether you're inside or outside?
Outside.
Good. Do you get a sense of kind of your position in space, whether you're standing or walking, sitting, relaxing? What are you doing?
I'm standing. It's muddy.
Are you alone?
No, there's people around, but I don't know. They're just flashes of people.
So just being in this scene, and if something kind of catches your awareness, go in that direction. Otherwise, maybe just focus on these other people, the flashes of them, or if kind of the sensing of them changes or deepens or becomes more descriptive. Do you get a sense of if these people are related to you or if you know them at all, if they're complete strangers?
I think there are people in the town, in the village, just doing their daily things, like going about their life and business.
Do you get a sense of kind of their general mood? Sometimes when we are near a crowd, we can kind of sense what the mood is like, whether it's calm or excited or hopeful or excited, looking to the future or dreadful. What do you get from these people?
It's just dreary. People are they're just tired.
Do you get a sense of your age or the age range?
Like 12-ish.
Okay. So continue to just turn that focus inward on your 12-year-old self here in this scene, in this village with these people. And maybe you can get a sense for your mood. If you feel dreary, if you feel tired like everybody else, or if you feel differently.
I feel like I'm by myself, but it's like I'm abandoned.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm dirty and muddy. I don't know if I live just out on the streets or I don't. It's sad.
So if you were to take this scene and imagine you're watching it on a movie screen and you fast forward the scene until something changes, whether you do something else or feel a different way, or maybe someone joins you or you change locations, maybe something happens around you. What happens next?
I'm inside working somewhere. Hot water, like dishes, like.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Do you get a sense this is your job? Like you come here and you get money?
Yeah.
So as you're here doing these dishes, do you get a sense of what you might be thinking about? Sometimes when we do these mundane tasks, our mind can wander to a completely different area of life. What do you think about when you're doing the dishes?
I'm happy to be warm, but not happy in general.
So tune into that unhappiness and just see if any more details or any more of that part of your story, whatever makes you most unhappy. What do you know? What else do you know about that unhappiness?
It's like I'm nothing. I'm nobody. I just do the dishes, do the kitchen work, and nobody cares really.
Okay. That sense of nothingness. Do you get the sense that something happened and maybe that nothing, I'm nothing, comes from a sense of rejection? Or is it something that you feel like has been with you your whole life?
My whole life.
Okay. Is there a feeling in your body that you get when you feel that unhappiness, that nothingness?
It's achy.
Yeah. Is it achy all over or in one spot?
My chest.
All right. So what I want you to do is just take some deep breaths here if that feels good. And as you take those deep breaths, imagine that achiness in your chest leaving your body on that breath. And so just taking a few deep breaths, focusing on that achiness. We're just kind of priming it like we soak dishes to wash them later. Just want you to exhale and imagine moving that achiness out of your chest area. And keep doing that and let me know when it starts to feel like less or if it just all of a sudden goes away. Take your time. Just relax and breathe in a way where you can really focus on that feeling in your chest, lessening and leaving. But lighter and lighter with each breath. Does it feel like it's lightening or does it feel kind of stuck? Does it feel like it's left?
It's a little bit better.
Okay. We'll come back to that at the end. We might see something that helps loosen it even more, but I just like to kind of touch in with it. So just allowing that to leave and just setting the intention that more and more of that feeling in your chest, that achiness, just leaves more and more with each exhale. And so we're going to move now to another scene in this past life. And on the count of three, you'll be there. One, two, and three. Moving to another scene in this past life. Allowing those details to come in. Getting a sense for maybe your location or the position of your body. Do you get a sense, is it day or night?
It's night.
Okay. And are you aware of your gender?
I'm female.
Okay. And what are you doing?
I'm in bed.
Do you get a sense it's night? Is it, would you normally be sleeping right now and now you're awake? Or is this a part of your regular schedule?
It's just nighttime. I'm supposed to be sleeping. It's like in the place where I work, it's the upstairs, like attic, and the bed's really little and the blankets are scratchy.
Okay. And
I work there, but I sleep there.
Do you get a sense for your age in this scene?
17 to 19-ish,
okay.
Like late teenage.
Is this the place you were doing dishes at in the previous scene?
Yes.
What do you know about the person who, I guess, who owns this place, who hired you to do the dishes, who lets you sleep upstairs, or do they know you're sleeping upstairs? What do you know about the person or the people who are kind of your boss or your landlord?
I think it's a woman.
Okay.
Older. She is kind of gruff, but I think she takes care of me. Like, she comes off rough and gruff, but she keeps an eye on me and makes sure I'm okay.
Is she of any relation to you, or is the reason you know each other because you work for her?
I just work for her.
And so being here in your late teens, just kind of being inside this life, turning that introspection on, being here in bed, see if you can, if it's relevant, you'll get some answers. If not, we'll move on. But do you get a sense of your family of origin, your parents or any siblings, and if they are a part of your life or if they've ever been a part of your life? What do you know about your family of origin?
I don't remember my parents. I don't feel like I was just on the streets until I worked here.
Good. And so being here in this scene, in this life, if you were to check in and just see kind of what you think about your future, or maybe if you're still unhappy, well, if you have any ideas of things that you dream up that might make you happy, how do you feel in your life now? And how do you feel about the future?
I feel like I want a family. I want somebody to love and to love me.
Yeah.
But right now, I just work here, and it's like a bar, but not. People pass through, travelers. It's busy.
Okay.
Lots of people come and go. Like an
good. Okay. What else are you aware of in this scene as you reflect on people coming and going, whether it's how they make you feel, whether you appreciate them or try to hide from them? Anything else that you're aware of in this scene?
It's always loud downstairs.
Okay.
Loud, and men are loud and drunk.
And as you're in bed at night here, can you hear them?
Yeah.
Like, is that what's going on now? Okay.
That's loud.
So taking these memories with you, we're going to move to another scene in this past life. So again, on the count of three, you'll be there. 1, 2, and 3. Moving to another scene in this past life. Just allowing the details to come in. And whenever you're ready, let me know, whether you're inside or outside or anything else you're aware of in this scene.
I'm inside. I'm downstairs.
Do you get a sense for your age?
Close to the same, maybe a little older. Very close to the same.
So what's it like downstairs? Are you out with everyone, or is it quiet now? Are you in the back alone? What are you doing?
I'm out where they serve the food, but it's not like at night where it's crazy. It's maybe lunchtime-ish, like that middle part of the day where it's a quieter crowd.
How do you feel about this day? What kind of mood are you in? Are you enjoying where you're at right now with this quieter crowd at lunchtime? Or are you worrying about something or regretting something? What are you kind of thinking of right now? Or what's your mood?
I feel not happy, but not like before. It's like it is what it is, like a resigned, but not sad. Just it is, it just is.
So is it almost like a level of acceptance instead of wanting something else?
Acceptance, but still like hoping.
Okay.
But it's like, who would want me?
So when you say that, but who would want me? What kind of fears or beliefs are underneath that? Who are you? What is it about you that you feel people wouldn't want?
Just because where I come from, I don't have anything, anybody, just no family, no money, no, just a scrawny girl that doesn't have nice clothes. I keep clean, but just simple and not smart. Like smart, but no school. Just no, I just feel like nobody wants that.
What else are you aware of here? Is there anyone in the lunch crowd that kind of sticks out to you? Or maybe you get a sense of what you do next. What else are you aware of?
I think it's mostly old men, but there is a younger man that I feel like he's somewhat regular enough. Or I know, I recognize him.
Okay. What do you think about him?
He seems kind. He gives me some attention.
How does that make you feel?
Good, but like almost afraid to trust it.
So in that idea of being afraid to trust it, what could happen? What makes trust scary?
The same thing that I just don't think much of myself, so why? I don't believe that anybody would ever want to get to know me.
when we're remembering these past life memories and looking at lives from the vantage point of the soul, it's easier for us to have a soul or a greater understanding of situations or interactions. And so kind of with your higher knowing, if you were to really focus on that younger man who sometimes gives you attention and it feels good, but you don't want to trust it. If you were to focus on him and get a sense of his general mood or general outlook on life or his position in life, or maybe you can even see what he thinks of you. What do you know about him?
I think he's not in the super high position in life either, but higher than me. Like, I think he does his own. I don't know what he does.
Okay.
With the traveling, I don't know why. But his dress is not fancy. Like, I mean, like, how he dresses is, it's plain.
And did you say he travels? Like, or does he live or work there like you do?
No, he doesn't live here. He travels a lot. Like, I see him often, but it's like he stays over and then leaves.
Do you get a sense of how he views you?
I think just interest as far as I'm female.
Good. So let's move now to another scene in this past life. And again, on the count of three, you'll be there. One, two, and three. Moving to another scene in this past life and just allowing the details to come in. Maybe how old you feel or where you are or who you're with, what you're doing. What are you aware of in this scene?
I'm on the property, but it's like a stable.
Okay.
There's hay and animals.
Do you get a sense of your age, if you feel about the same or older or younger?
About the same.
Okay. Are you there alone?
Yeah.
So do you get a sense of your state of mind, whether you're looking for something or if you come here to relax or if this is the first time you're here? What do you know about what you're doing here?
I'm upset with myself. I shouldn't have done that. I let him talk me into things I shouldn't have done. But he was being nice. He was convincing. Now I just feel dirty.
And so were you here with him or did this happen a while ago? Okay.
But he left.
So this feeling of kind of being coerced into something that you didn't want to, do you get a sense of where do you feel this in your body somewhere? You had mentioned feeling dirty, or if it's a different kind of emotion or feeling, where do you feel that in your physical body?
It's like in my stomach.
So what happens next?
I have to get myself together and go do my job.
What else are you aware of here? Anything else?
I don't want my boss to know.
What would happen if she did know?
I don't know.
Has anything like this ever happened before?
No.
Okay. So let's move to another scene in this past life. One, two, and three. Moving to another scene in this past life. Allowing the details to come in. Let me know whatever it is that you're aware of here.
I'm older. I don't. It's not the same place. It's a small house, I think.
Okay.
Dirt floors. Same town.
Is this your home or someone else's?
It's my, I live here. It's my husband's home.
Okay. Do you get a sense if you've lived here a long time or if it's kind of new?
It's been a while.
And how do you feel in this life, being married and living in this house?
I'm kind of taken care of, but it's not like love like I thought, like I wanted. But I knew I didn't marry him for that reason, but I had to anyway.
What factored into that, feeling like you had to marry him?
Because I knew that I was pregnant.
Mm.
But it wasn't his. I didn't marry the dad.
Okay. Do you know who the father of that child is?
Yeah. The guy from work.
And does he or does anyone else know that he is the father of that child?
No.
So do you have, what else do you know about this home? If you have any other children, or any other memories, like whether it's a happier place or if it's still kind of dismal and unhappy. How do you feel about that home life, that family?
I feel like I just go through the motions. I take care of everybody. I don't know. It's not what I thought, but it's not bad. Like, I'm not mistreated, but he's older than me. I don't know if there's other kids. I just really see a boy.
Okay. So let's move now to the final scene in this past life. One, two, and three. Moving to the final scene, the final minutes or hours of this past life. Knowing that you're totally safe, just being in the scene. What are you aware of here?
I think I'm sick.
Okay. Are you in the same home?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you in bed or somewhere else?
I'm in bed.
Okay. So just really being in this moment, settling, resting into that life, into that moment, and just allow any other details from the environment to come in. So maybe you get a sense of the home, the general kind of feeling and mood of being in that home. Maybe you can sense if people are around you right now or if you're alone. What do you know about what's going on around you in that home?
I think it's cold, but we have a fire. It's small. The house is small.
Is it the same house that you were in the previous scene?
Yes.
Who's there with you?
I think my son is there at the end of the bed. He's like 5 or 6. I think my husband is around, but not right by me. He's maybe outside, but is in and out.
And what are the two of you doing there? Are you chatting, or are you just being quiet together, or is something else going on?
I'm in and out of sleep. And he is keeping himself busy with something, some small item, maybe a toy. I don't know.
And so as you're here in this bed with your son, are you aware that this is the end of your life, or do you just feel like you're sick and going to be okay someday?
I think I know it soon. I think I've had a long illness.
Do you get a sense for what the illness is or what body part it affects?
I think it's when you cough up blood.
Okay. So let's move this scene forward. You're going to move this scene forward through the time when your soul leaves that body. Moving this scene forward, your soul will leave that body and then just kind of hang out right there. Just for a little bit, we're going to reflect on that life. So when your soul is outside that body, just kind of hanging around that scene, that life, say okay.
Okay.
Good. So as you're newly out of that body, kind of what's your soul thinking about that life, about life in general, as your soul leaves that body?
Relief to get out. But sad for my boy. I feel bad that I left him. Because I know what it's like to not have a parent. But I was so sick. So it's a relief to be out.
How would you describe that life, looking back on it from the vantage point of the soul? Was it hard? Was it good? Was it a little bit of both? What stands out?
It was really hard emotionally, but I had to just figure stuff out on my own. I didn't have anybody helping ever. I don't remember ever. It's hard, but looking back, I did it. I I did hard things. But I wish I would have let people love me more. I think it would have been there, but I pushed it away because it scared me. Because yeah. I knew for life not to have it. And I didn't want it. It was scary.
Yeah. Do you have any other regrets from that life? Or is that kind of the big one that sticks out?
I think sometimes, you know, your own perspective makes your life the way it is. Like, if I would have looked at things in a different way, I could have brought more happiness to myself. But I always wanted it to come to me. And I shouldn't have been that way.
Wow, yeah. Wow. Reflecting back on that life, do you get a sense, are you still carrying any of the emotional residue or the thought patterns from that life that you used to kind of cope? So we had talked about kind of a feeling in your stomach and there was a feeling in your chest. Do you still feel those in your life as Angie? Or do you feel like they were released as we moved through the scenes of that life?
I feel like a very little part of the pushing love away hangs on.
So when you think of that pushing love away, and you had mentioned the fear before was something in the sense of like, you can't trust it. It'll go away and maybe that'll bring hurt. Do you get a sense, is the fear behind that the same or has it kind of shifted a little?
No, it's shifted some because I feel safe in this life now. Like I don't fear losing love now, but I still want to push. I don't know why. Like, that just is like, I don't know. It wants to push back.
When you think of that feeling and imagine yourself, if you can, either in that past life or your life as Angie, and imagine yourself in a situation, whether it's from your memory or you can just kind of imagine it, where you are pushing that love away, or maybe feeling a little freaked out, which then makes you push that love away, and just really kind of be in that moment and maybe let it unravel slowly in your memory and see if there's a feeling in your body that's associated with it. Sometimes it can be like a heaviness in the chest or tight in the throat or hollowness in the belly or something totally different. Do you get a sense of where that lives in your body, if it does?
It's tension just in my muscles. And I tense up when my husband tells me nice things, but I question not the sincerity, but not kind of the motive, but, and I know he's not like that, but it's like, what, you just tell me that because you want to have sex tonight, or do you mean it?
Yeah. Yes.
That I get tense because I don't trust that it's real. And I know he's not that way.
Mm-hmm.
But my body forgets.
Okay. So be with that tension that you feel in your body in situations like that. I want you to just imagine in your mind, in your wild imagination, what would help you get that feeling out of your body? And so you might want to imagine it like you're going to turn a hose on and it's going to drain out, or maybe you want to melt it or dissolve it, or maybe you want to walk through a mist, a healing mist of a certain color to have your muscles just kind of be shaken free. Or maybe there's a different way you want to get that tension out. But what would be a creative, imaginative way for you to move that tension out of your body right now when you feel it?
Like a warm waterfall.
Yeah. Oh, yes. So I want you to imagine yourself moving into or underneath that warm waterfall. And just feel what that would feel like, what that could feel like. And imagine that tension being dissolved and drained out of your muscles, out of your body. And just take your time and continue to imagine it. If it feels good to shift or to breathe in a different way, you can do that. But just be here. Focus on that tension leaving your body, being under that cleansing, warm waterfall that balances you completely and deeply, mind, body, and soul. And just taking your time here and say okay when it has drained out of your body, but take your time. So I want you to know that as that running water washed away that tension, it's being down a drain, and you can imagine that drain swirling down, pulling all of that water, all of that tension, all the way down to the core of the earth. And that's at the core of the earth that this kind of heavy, stagnant energy, this tense energy that comes over you, it's where it gets transmuted into a higher frequency, frequency of love and healing. And it feeds Mother Earth with more love and more healing. And it comes out through her people, her plants, her animals, every part of her. And so you've not only lightened your own load, but you've lightened everyone's load. And so knowing this, I want you to imagine, sense, feel, or know that healing light from above coming in again through the crown of your head. And it immediately, quickly moves to all of your muscles and infuses all of your muscles with a quiet strength and an unwavering self-trust. And so just imagine that light filling all the spaces that once held that tension. And as that light fills those spaces, it overflows and fills your entire mind, body, and spirit with a sense of inner peace and inner strength and trust in your ability. Trust in your ability to make choices, to keep yourself safe, and to communicate that and rejuvenate that whenever you need. And every day that goes by, it'll get easier and easier to feel that, we've planted this seed and it's rapidly growing and changing. And it'll be like a flower blooming within you. Even if no one else can see it, you can feel the difference as you move through life more and more every day. And so doing another body scan, either toe to head or head to toe, and just notice if there's any other residues, emotions, thought patterns, any other things that feel blocked or stagnant. And maybe even spending a little extra time on your chest, on your belly, on your womb space. But just making sure, and let me know, either say okay or that it's complete, or let me know if you find anything else that needs to be released.
There's still some heaviness in the heart.
Okay. So tune into that heaviness. And sometimes kind of these accumulations of energy or emotion, sometimes they're there because it's like a wall that we thought we needed to protect ourselves. And sometimes it's maybe an emotional reaction that just continues to grow unnecessarily, and the residues have just built up. But when you feel into that heaviness in your heart, what do you know about that heaviness?
It's like armor, like put on so I don't feel, so I don't cry.
Okay. So tuning into that armor, sometimes things are like a metaphor. Sometimes they carry messages and sometimes they don't. But does that armor have a message for you?
Yeah, but I have the key to unlock it. I just have to do it.
Do you feel like you're aware of how to do it?
Yes and no. I need to let myself feel things and cry. But crying is such a pain in the ass.
Why? Tell me why.
There's snot and stuff. I hate it. Headaches. I mean, makes you feel shitty to cry. But if I did it more, maybe it would be better.
Kind of like relieving a pressure valve a little more often. So what do you want to do to release or relax this armor? Or maybe you feel like the armor is too much, but you want to put something else around it. How does it feel? How do you want to manage that? Do you want to release it, replace it?
I guess I want to take it off.
Yeah. So how do you take it off? Do you see the key or do you just pull it off?
I think the key's been in it. I just need to take it off.
So I'm going to have you take it off. And once you take it off, and you can either take it off or you can have someone help you take it off. But whenever you take that off, I want you to imagine a big hand beside you. And you're going to take it off and put that armor in the big hand that's beside you or behind you, near you somewhere. And so take your time and just say okay when you've placed that armor in that hand beside you. Good. So now I want you to imagine that armor in that hand, and that hand winds up and throws that piece of armor, that heavy, stagnant, blocking energy into the sun. And you can maybe imagine or just simply know that as it hits the sun, it's like a little firework show. And the sun transmutes that into a higher frequency of love and healing and sends that love and healing back toward us and Mother Earth with the sun's rays. And so now know that that light, that healing light from above is coming down and surrounding and filling that area that used to hold that armor around your heart. And it fills that area. And it's like a beautiful filter, allowing truth and love into your heart. And it's like a filter that also gives you some support, a feeling where you know you're never alone, a feeling you can trust yourself and your ability. You can trust your ability to rely on your spirit guides and your higher self and the universe completely. And so as you imagine this, see a beautiful ball of light around that area. And you can see this ball of light. Now maybe it's beginning to spin or take on a color. And it's simultaneously, safely, comfortably opening you up even more to your heart and your emotions. Emotions are just simply the way our bodies send us messages. And so they're just there. They just are. They're not good or bad. They might be comfortable or uncomfortable. But you can see when you feel you get lighter. And when you feel you get lighter and you heal and life feels better. And every day now, you are more and more aware of this. More and more aware of this light, this soul that you are, and the power that you have. And the trust in your power and the trust in the support around you. And so now with that, filling your body with that light again, that healing light from the universe from above, integrating this healing, knowing that every day it'll get easier and easier for you to feel a change in this area. And if it's ever unpleasant or uncomfortable, you know that you just simply have to feel it, and that's how it leaves. And the more you do it, the easier it gets, and the more powerful you feel, and the more you trust yourself. And this gets easier and easier every day. And so now moving away from these past life scenes, sending love and gratitude to everybody who was in that past life with you, even yourself. As we take the lessons and leave the suffering, leave the outdated survival techniques behind. They're simply a memory. And so now moving to a space of spiritual guidance, on the count of three, we'll be there. And as we move into the space of spiritual guidance, I'm going to ask you questions. And these questions are for your higher self and your spirit guides. And you'll get the answers the same as you did for those past life scenes. Just wait for it to come into your awareness, into your knowing. And so my first question, or first, I'll count us there. 1, 2, and 3. Moving to that space of spiritual guidance right now. Settling in. My first question is for your higher self, your spirit guides. And my question is, why was Angie shown this past life at this time?
because she pushes her husband away when he just wants to love her. He just wants to be with her.
What can Angie know about sometimes when certain people in our lives do certain things, whether it's justifiable or not? Sometimes we think there's more of an expectation or more motive behind the action. How can Angie be in a space where she can trust herself to know the difference between when her husband or anyone is acting with more pure loving intentions or more of a different motivation, something that's maybe not in her best interest? How can she learn to trust herself in that space?
She needs to listen to her body. Her body knows.
Oh, what signals does it give?
Like alarms going off if it's not right. But to sit with it, don't prejudge it.
So sometimes when we kind of block things, a lot of times we're just avoiding hurt, which is totally natural and part of our survival. But feeling emotions, especially when we've been blocking them, can feel overwhelming. So if this were to ever be the case for Angie in this situation or any other situation in the future, where she feels like, I don't want to sit with it, I am prejudging it, whatever it is, what can she know or remember or say to herself, or what can she do to help her feel more comfortable sitting in these emotions, learning to discern people's motives or intentions?
She just needs to do what, keep ahead of it, don't wait till those things are happening, because then it's like it's too intense. So practice things that keep you more balanced always, like the being outside, the yoga, the whatever brings the joy, do that, and that will diffuse situations from getting to be like the fight or flight feel. Like, be proactive, and then you'll be in a better space to listen to your intuition.
So how often should she do that in terms of yoga and going outside? Is it just a few minutes a day, or can she do it once a week or once a month? What's right for Angie right now in this time in her life? What would be a good balance there for her to see and feel a difference?
Just pick a thing every day. It doesn't matter which one, all or just one, whatever works. But
okay.
Whatever feels good, do that.
And if life were to ever speed up, or if Angie's going through a really busy time, is this something that needs like hours a day, or can Angie just do these things for even a few minutes? What helps her the most, or what should she keep in mind there?
Just take one thing at a time, but walk down the driveway and back.
Oh, okay.
If it's cold, even if it's raining, just do it.
Yes.
It brings her back to her body.
And so sometimes as humans, we almost feel more motivated when we can kind of strive for something. So if that's the case, or if that were to ever help Angie in the future, one of the reasons you all mentioned why she saw this past life was because she pushes love away, love from her husband, and I'm sure other places too, if I were to assume. But my question is, what will she get out of letting more love in? Like, can Angie's spirit guides and higher self give her a little taste of whether it's a memory of a feeling? When we've been hurt by love, it can seem scary, no matter how rational or irrational or logical it might be. So what can she know about love, her ability to feel it, her ability to bounce back if she's ever hurt because she let herself feel it? What does she get from letting all that love in?
She will be able to relax more, like relax into the flow of life, because she won't be fighting against the current. She'll just flow with it. And it just will bring more joy. And then with that, the things, the creativity will flow, the things that she wants to happen will be so much easier. Like, just when you just let it, you just open up, then you can receive better.
Yeah. Being open to receive, that's great. Good. So my next question for Angie's spirit guides and higher self, she has a feeling that her throat chakra needs healing, and maybe this is possibly related to her fear of being seen. But what can she know about her throat chakra? And maybe healing that, how it's related to her fear of being seen, and what she can do to kind of move into a more balanced, joyful state with that, even if it's not always a joyful thing to be seen. How can she be at peace with it?
She needs to just continue the things she's doing now, putting herself out there more, and just keep trusting that, because the more she does it, the more she realizes that she just doesn't care what people think and doesn't matter. And just as long as it's making her happy and doing what she feels is right and good, that she won't care. Like, I think she's realizing that, but keep doing that.
So is it like, I guess just learning by living? Okay. What can Angie know if she's ever in the future, say she's in a situation, even if it's far off in the future, and she kind of feels this fear of being seen? Healing is like pulling off layers. So if she were to ever circle back to this kind of fear of being seen and it shows up in a different way, what can she know about this fear and moving herself through it? If she encounters it and feels kind of stuck by it before it's totally gone.
She needs to remember that she doesn't need the love and approval of strangers. It doesn't matter.
And every day, that'll get easier and easier, more automatic And someday, Angie, you'll wake up and think, wow, I can't believe I even struggled with that. It'll just be a nice, easy, slow progression, just unfolding naturally in your life. So my next question for Angie's spirit guides and higher self is just understanding that Angie is seeking about her womb space, any stagnation there. She has really heavy periods. Is that a signal of anything or anything she needs to do there or could do there to help just ease all of that?
When she could flow with life better and not tense up and not block and not want to just grab on and fight things off. When she opens up, then her body will too. Like, it knows, but that constant need to protect causes that blockage. And when that is better, when the flow is better, then our body will do.
Wow, yeah.
Be more at ease.
Recently, Angie has been experiencing more anger and rage just about men. Is there anything she can know or understand about that? What that can teach her about herself or remind her of, so it fuels her in a way that feels good instead of just kind of adding to the weight of the world on our shoulders? What can she know about that?
They hurt too. They act that way because they can't let anybody know. So understanding that it's something it's like we need to work on it together. Like the issues that women feel towards men and the issues that how men view women, it's not separate. It's needs healed together.
What role can Angie play in that? It seems like when we do something on the inside of us, we just naturally start to see it around us kind of unfold in our lives on a greater scale and in other people's lives. What can she do? What's her part in shifting that and healing?
She's raising her boys to be different. Her sons they won't carry that baggage because they've been allowed to feel and express and know that it's safe and that it's natural, and they've not been fully emotionally. So look at the good. Look at the young generation, because they're better. They know, not better, different, more open. They know.
I'm not sure if Angie struggles with this, but it's pretty common, so I'll bring it up just in case she does. But sometimes, being raised as women in this society, we can feel even unconscious guilt or shame about the anger we feel. Is Angie carrying any of that, or is it kind of where it needs to be so she can work with it?
She's starting to work with it. She's expressing it more. It confuses her husband sometimes, the things that make her mad, but she's saying it, and he listens.
Is there anything that Angie could understand further in terms of helping herself kind of move through and release that anger? Is it just as simple as when you feel it, say it, feel it, let it out? Or is there anything else she can do to help kind of move it out of the body? Anger is good for kind of lighting a fire, getting us to see stuff, do stuff that we wouldn't normally do. But if we, it, you know, can get stuck inside of us just like anything else. But is there anything she needs to know there? Or is it just simply as she feels it, let it up and out, and that's enough?
Letting it up and out is enough. Don't hold on to that.
And so another question for your spirit guides and Angie's higher self. What else can Angie know about her spirit guides? So in terms of connecting, sometimes we feel more connected when we have a name or an image or even a letter. Or what else can Angie know about you spirit guides? Maybe how you come in, how to communicate. What can she know?
She just needs to know that she's outside and walking on the driveway in the evenings, that when she talks to us, we hear it.
Whether it's a conscious memory or not for Angie, are there any, have her spirit guides sent any signs, anything that maybe she just kind of glazed over in her memory that if she were to know about it, she would be like, those are my spirit guides. I knew it. Has she made any real connection that she doubts or doesn't remember?
When she finds the walnuts that are open and look like a heart in the middle, that is us.
Oh, wow. Before we leave this space and start moving back to the present moment, is there anything else that Angie can know or understand that will help her just feel more in her power, help her feel lighter in life? Anything else, whether we've covered it and there was more to cover, or if it's a totally different topic, anything else she needs to know, or is it complete?
She can know that when she needs it, for whatever reason, that she can ask us to get as close, like just almost like a hug, like get right in, and she'll feel that and calm down. Like she knows that. Like she knows that she can feel us if she stops and thinks about it and asks us to come in. She knows that, but sometimes forgets.
Yeah, so just know that as the days and weeks go by, you'll feel even more connected to them. You'll see more walnuts that are open and look like hearts, and you'll be able to feel them, and you'll remember when you're feeling stressed out, worried, fearful for any reason, it'll get easier and easier for you to automatically lean on your spirit guides, call them in for a hug. And this will make you feel even more powerful, and it'll rejuvenate you and restore you to a level that you need to be at. So taking the lessons with you as we prepare to move back to the present moment, just sending love and gratitude to your spirit guides, any other enlightened beings who are with us today, guiding you and protecting you. That is our episode for today. I hope you enjoyed this past life regression. They are such a joy for me to facilitate, and I honestly feel so fucking lucky that I'm able to experience this
as in my work. And I'm so lucky that my clients love it so much that they're willing to share their sessions with you all. I think that we can learn and heal and grow from other people's life experiences, whether it's this life or a past life. And so that is part of my hope, not only for entertainment that you can listen, but also my hope is that maybe you find a little nugget that applies to your life or something that you can make fit in your world. Let's all learn from each other before it gets incredibly painful. That's my hope anyway. Maybe you can come with me. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for spreading the word about this podcast. It really is a joy, and it's just a joy to meet more people who are listening, who are new, who discovered the podcast during the break. So thank you so much for being here. As always, take anything that helps you feel better and just leave the rest.